Okay, during the break, you gave out a...
Hold on. I'm trying to confirm that this is real, and I'm not sure that it is.
All right, all right.
So
I'll hold on.
Well...
But I think it's funny. The funny thing is if one of us goes, whoa, and then we're like, really? Is it a whoa? And then you said, well, it's more than a huh. But if it's nothing, if you end up doing some research
here... because in this day and age, it's so hard to know what's real and what isn't. So it's premature to bring it to the air. So I'm just going to.
All right.
But there's a lot of bogus crap out there. And I'm really questioning the source. But I'll circle back when we get more of confirmation. And in the meantime, Dan Campbell, Dave Burkett, Free Press. Dan Campbell's meeting with the media at this hour on trade possibilities for defensive ends. Said Brad Holmes is doing his homework on player scenarios, etc. Quote, we're open to anything. Brad's working through it. We are not in a hurry. We're not going to make a move to make it.
Not going to make a move just for the sake of making a move is what that means, right?
Yep. Yep.
Which is fine. Plus, they have three games to play prior to the trade deadline. So you can afford to take your time. And in 3 weeks, some teams that may not be thinking that they're out of it might find themselves out of it and might be willing to move some guys.
Yep. Somebody who says no right now might not say no in a couple of weeks.
Correct.
I mean, I'll give you like the one that just feels like he'd be perfect and would be a big move and a guy that has a history with this coaching staff is Trey Hendrickson out of Cincinnati. I think the Bengals are going to be 5-4. I think they're going to go from 1-5 or 1-4 to 5-4. And that it's because they have the Browns, the Eagles, the Raiders coming up. I like their chances to win those three games, and maybe they won't, and maybe in 3 weeks they'll be, 3-6, and then they'll decide that they can move a player. But that's one that could go either way. I mean, the Raiders could implode. That could change their approach. If you missed it earlier in the show, we played a soundbite from Adam Schefter saying Max Crosby and Myles Garrett's fantasy talk. But anyway. Kind of brings you up to speed on the very latest with the Lions. Scott Harris spoke earlier in the week. Of course, the Tigers season ended over the weekend with the heartbreaking Game 5 loss to the Cleveland Guardians, who are now down 0-2 in the ALCS, and maybe wasting this opportunity that the Tigers could have had. But nonetheless, frustrating. I mean, Cleveland probably should win that series because they are a team that's more prepared to win right now than the Tigers. But the Tigers go into this offseason with a few things. Do you believe what Scott Harris said about spending money, that he can't spend money if he wants to?
Yes. Yes, I do believe that he can spend money. I don't know if that means spending money the way that fans want them to. Does that mean they're going to go out there and pay top dollar and get Juan Soto? Probably not. Because there is a limit for what the Tigers can spend. You're not going to go crazy to get the guy when you and get into a bidding war with the Yankees, right?
Right.
Yankees have a trump card over just about everybody. But they do need to spend money. Does that mean the Tigers can outbid Houston for Bregman? I think it does. Now, can they outbid the Yankees for Bregman if they wanted to go that route? Maybe not. But I think that they will be in the market for some pretty substantial free agents, as they should be, because now's the time. Look, you just made the playoffs. You showed that you've got a coaching staff that can work with pitchers, make them better, and you have obvious holes with the lineup and your offense. So go fix those obvious holes.
I think there's a couple strike while the iron's hot things going on here. One is what you just mentioned about the pitching staff. I could imagine there are some pitchers with ability that want to work with Chris Fetter. And I would imagine that the Tigers are pretty appealing right now. I think the popularity of what this team did, I think there's probably quite a few, I mean, major league players watch what's going on. And I bet they saw Detroit as an attractive situation with all the young players, the excitement that they generated, and something that I think might be a little bit of momentum to want to be a part of it.
Well, that's something that that Scott Harris and AJ Hinch kind of talked about a little bit, was, and Scott Harris more in particular, because he said, you know, he thinks they're a destination now. Because players do see that the Tigers staff has been able to coach players up and get more out of the players and make them better. He thinks that players want to play for AJ Hinch. And that all sounds great. I'm not sure I buy that completely. I think that, you know, by and large, players might say that it's an upside for Detroit. It's in the check plus column. But if they're getting courted by other teams, are going to be offering more money, then so be it. No one's going to take less money to come to Detroit.
I think of this as a tiebreaker. I think of this as, you know, if I've got similar offers on the table from organizations, God, that Detroit situation seemed fun. It's a young and exciting team, a lot of energy, a lot of juice. I'll go there. Or if I'm a pitcher and I'm looking at two different situations and I'm like, huh, I can go work with Chris Fetter or I can go work with some other team's pitching coach. Again, I think of it as a tiebreaker that the Tigers might be able to say, well, match whatever offer's out there. Will you come? And the player will say, yeah, I'll come if you match that offer.
I think the pitching staff in particular, when you look at the last couple of years, what they did with Lorenzen and then what they did with Flaherty, if you're a free agent pitcher and you're trying to find a way to come back and you know that you've got stuff, and that, why wouldn't you consider the Tigers because of what they've done? I think that's where it may pay off. And do the Tigers need starting pitching? You bet they need to, because they're not going to go into the season doing the pitching chaos model with using bullpen arms. They're going to go into the season with five starting pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching chaos model has its use. You need everybody to be on. You need everybody to be pitching at such a high level. So many, it's relying on so many players pitching well out of the pen that unfortunately we saw in game four and game five, more so game four than game five, but in both games that it's hard to sustain that. But it doesn't mean it's not in your back pocket at all times. In the meantime, I will say the adrenaline rush that was the end of that Tiger season, I think motivates the GM and the owner. We haven't subscribed, like every time the addition of anything, you know, that can the Tigers move on this, move on that, it gets met with a healthy dose of skepticism from fans. We see the texts as they come in and the posts and the tweets, not going to do anything because of ownership. They're not going to do anything because of ownership. I think ownership is got the adrenaline rush just like everybody else. And I think the GM got the adrenaline rush, although to be fair, they've always kind of said, we're not ready, we're not ready, we're not ready. I don't know how you can argue now that they're not ready to inject some talent.
You can't argue that. They just made the playoffs. So that goes out the window, and it's a happy problem to have. I think when they've announced the building of this new club that they have that's going on behind home plate or whatever, and they're having a club seating or whatever, that they have to pay for that. And they want people to show up, and people are only going to show up if it's a winning team. So you have to build off of what they've done. I don't know. I'm dying to see who they're going to be talking to. You know, Bregman seems like an obvious one. Third base. They don't have a third baseman. You know, Jace Young didn't show that he's ready just yet. So it's important for Jace Young to have a really good spring, but I imagine he starts the season at AAA. Torkelson don't know. Is Torkelson going to play first base or not? Are they going to? I don't think they totally give up on him, but they are letting him know that it's kind of now or never time with you. You've got to make an impact.
That was quite a proclamation that Scott Harris had about he needs a good offseason.
Yeah.
And then was very specific in his criticism of his swing.
And I don't think he's alone. There are other players like Casey Mize is another one. Mm-hmm. All right, you're healthy, a couple of years removed from Tommy John and having back issues. And, okay, you're throwing a ball harder than you ever have. You've got great stuff, but you've got to learn how to pitch. And that's been what being Fetter made has worked out, right? So, but he's worked with him for the last couple of years, and we haven't seen a ton of upside with it, but that's another player that's got to step it up. I like the idea that this team can add players and impactful players. Will they be in the market for Anthony Santander, outfielder, first baseman, guy who hits 40 home runs? I think he's a switch hitter, both sides of the plate. Can they be in on him? Because maybe the bigger teams aren't, because the bigger teams already have the those big time players, and the Yankees are going to do all they can to re-sign Juan Soto. So is that somebody that can be of interest? But that's a $30 million plus player. And so is Bregman. Are they going to be willing to put the big boy pants on and spend money on those players, those types of players? Or is it just going to be, you know, finding another slight upgrade for the corner infield position? I hope that's not it, and I don't think that's it. I think they're going to be real players, and they may end up trading.